Today we're at the last part of a four-part series called A Matter of Life and Death. And we've been looking at a couple of events in the life of Jesus. We looked at the cross of Jesus last week. And then today we're looking at, of course, the resurrection. And the title of today's message and the video that we saw earlier this morning has this idea of this changes everything. And you may have said that before. You may have had somebody say that to you. We can say it in things as trivial as like a game. Like if somebody throws an interception, you may have looked over to your friend, and as the Cowboys were marching on to another Super Bowl victory, you may have said something like, this changes everything, right? Or maybe you had some kind of a thing at work that happened, and something really went well or something really went bad, and you said, or somebody said to you, you know, this changes everything. Or maybe even you've had something far more serious where you've had a diagnosis, something that the doctor has said, and you've thought to yourself, whether it was for you or someone you love, you know, this really changes everything. And there are events and circumstances in our lives that can be like that. Some very minor, like a game, but then something very significant, like an illness or even a death. And as significant as those things are, they really pale in comparison to the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ really does change everything. Not only for today, but also for all eternity. So that's what I'd like to be milling around in our minds as we walk through this time that we have together. Now, what I want to talk about in terms of the resurrection as we begin is to say that there are really four ways that people approach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's really four ways that people look at this idea of Jesus coming back to life. And the first one is that there's a group of people that just will deny it altogether. And maybe some of you are here this morning. Maybe this is what you think about this idea. You're just here because somebody promised you brunch, or because your girlfriend asked you, your boyfriend asked you, or your parents made you, or whatever the case is, and you're just not really sure about this. And I'm glad that you're here, but, or maybe you're not even, you just know it. It's just not true. There's no way this guy came back to life. You don't even believe that there was a literal Jesus. This is just all sort of made up. It's all metaphorical. It's all meant to kind of communicate something to us, but it's just not even true. Well, according to a survey in 2013 of American adults, 19% of American adults said that they denied the resurrection of Jesus altogether. That's actually a higher number than I would have expected it to be in some ways, and then not so high as I think about it in other ways. So if that's you today, I'm glad you're here. You're in company, obviously. There's lots of people out there who feel that way. Then there's another group of people who think they're just not really sure. I mean, after all, there's no video, so we don't really know. I mean, in our day and age, if it doesn't have video, it probably doesn't happen. So we don't really know if it happened, there were no cell phones there snapping the empty tomb or anything like that. And so we're just not really sure. And maybe, you know somebody who professes to follow Jesus, and he or she doesn't really live in a way that you would consider it to be, so it doesn't look like anything's really changed. You're not really sure if the resurrection happened. According to that same survey of American adults, about 17% of them thought that, you know, I'm not really sure. So if you add those two up, that's 36% of the population of adults in the United States of America who either deny the resurrection or who are really not sure that it ever happened. So that leaves about two-thirds of us to fall into other categories. And then the third category is this one. They say they believe, but their behavior doesn't indicate that. So they say, sure, I believe in the resurrection, but nothing about their life really indicates that. And I sort of illustrated this by, you know, the exercise machine, the thing that we have over there. We believe in that. We think that's really good for us, but that serves as, a clothing stacker. This is not the one in my house, by the way. Okay, it's not mine. But, you know, you believe in exercise. It's great for you, but, you know, you're not going to do it. All right? Or you want to eat right, you know, healthy. It's the way to go. I need to eat right. I need to change my diet. And yet, you know, donuts are still on the menu more frequently than they ought to be. So you say you believe some. There are people say they believe it, but it doesn't really change how they live their life. And then the last group is that they believe and their life is changed because of that belief. They truly believe in the resurrection. They truly believe in Jesus Christ, and their life reflects that and lives out that reality in their life. And probably all of us in this room, really all of us, are in one of those four groups this morning. And I want to continue to think about this idea of how the resurrection changes everything. What you believe about the resurrection of Jesus is truly a matter of life and death. That's what we've been talking about over these last few weeks. It's a matter of life because it affects how you live. It affects everything about your life. It affects not only how you live from day to day, it affects the impact that your life makes on others and for eternity, forever. but it also greatly impacts death. What does death mean to you? What is the significance of death? What happens after death? All of those things hinge on what you believe about Jesus who was resurrected from the dead. Now, in a real quick review here, the Bible tells us of Jesus' life and death and then his resurrection. The Bible is really the primary source that we have for the life of Jesus. We have from other historical records, documents, not very many that were saved. There aren't very many things that we have that were written in the first or second centuries that we still have copies of today. Some of those other documents mention the name of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus and the life of the followers of Jesus, but for the most part, the vast majority of material that we have comes out of the Bible. And the Bible tells us that, as many of you know, that Jesus was born of a virgin, born of the Virgin Mary, and then his birth was kind of not celebrated all that much. We celebrate it a lot now, but when it actually happened, it really wasn't celebrated that much. A few shepherds, a star. Wise men actually came a couple of years later. So it really wasn't a whole lot of celebration going on then. And then Jesus sort of fades off of the radar screen and then pops back in about age 30 and does all of these miraculous things and this amazing teaching and then is arrested and crucified. And then 3 days later, he rises from the grave. And that's really sort of the story in a nutshell about that event. And what's interesting to me about that is that I sometimes wish we had more information about the early life of Jesus. I mean, wouldn't you love to know what it was like to be like the brother of Jesus? I mean, I know some of you always say, well, I was a perfect brother. I was essentially like God in my family, but then you'd be wrong. But, you know, just amazing how that would be. But the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they drill down more on the last week of Jesus' life and give us more detail about the events surrounding the resurrection than anything else that Jesus did. Because it's the resurrection that really changes everything. Everything. So, let's look at this. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." And so this is really this first declaration of the actual event that happened. "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And if you read the resurrection account in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they give some varying details, but they're all consistent. They all fit together. There's nothing in there that's inconsistent about them. And they piece together this incredible thing that happened. They piece together this incredible idea that Jesus came back to life. And it's important to understand, again, that it wasn't the teaching of Jesus that changed everything. If we go back here to the earlier part of this thing where it says that Mary and the other Mary came to see the tomb, the other gospel writers tell us that they didn't come because they expected the tomb to be empty. They came to help prepare the body further for burial. Because Jesus was taken off the cross in a rush and thrown into that tomb before the Passover began, and his body had not received the proper burial, the proper anointings. And so they brought these spices and things to them. They didn't really know how they were going to actually roll away the stone, but they got to the tomb not to see the empty tomb, but to prepare the body, sort of as a way of offering to this great teacher. But they never expected him to come back to life. The few followers of Jesus were not expecting anything in their lives to change after his death. Now, before his death, they thought everything was going to change, right? They thought that he was going to be a king. They thought that he was going to come. He would be the Messiah. He would establish the rule and reign of Israel on earth. He would kick out the Romans. He would, James and John are arguing over who's going to be first and second in the kingdom. They thought that everything was going to change. They were in on the ground floor. But that's not why Jesus came, and so we read, as Jesus was arrested, as he was tried, everyone scattered. Everyone went away. John went to the cross, and Mary was at the cross, but the rest of the disciples, we don't know where they where no one stood up, no one said, well, if he dies, I die as well, or his death changed me, his death motivated me to go out there and to change the world. You know, the death of Jesus, seeing him on the cross, changed my life. It changed the way that I wanted to live the rest of my life. No, none of that happened. No, they were perfectly content to just be, I'm sure, sad, incredibly disillusioned, but just move on with the rest of their life. But then he came back to life. And he visited with them, and he ate with them, and he taught them. And the Bible says that he was on earth for 40 days before he finally ascended into heaven, seen by hundreds and hundreds of people. They were not expecting anything in their lives to change after Jesus' death. Has anything changed in your life because of the resurrection of Jesus? Has anything changed in your life because of the resurrection of Jesus? Is anything fundamentally different in how you live, in what your goals are, in what your desires are in your life because of the resurrection of Jesus? Because the resurrection truly does change everything. Everything. So what we're going to do in these next few minutes is go from, look at the words life and death. How does the resurrection change life and death? We're going to go at it backwards. So we're going to talk about death first. Okay, so the next slide in your notes, if you want to follow along, says, because of the resurrection, death is not final or fatal. This changes everything. Death is not final or fatal. We think of death as final. We think of death as fatal. It is a deadly thing. Death is death, and it's final. There's a finality to that. But because of the resurrection, death is not final, and death is not fatal at all. And the next slide says that from John chapter 11, Jesus says this. Jesus said to her. Now, I need to set this up. So, in John chapter 11, Jesus had been told about a friend of his who was sick. His name was Lazarus. Many of you are familiar with this story or this event. And Jesus doesn't go and he doesn't do anything. He doesn't go to Lazarus. He could have healed him, but he doesn't do that. He waits and he dies. And then Jesus goes to see him then. And of course, if we read the rest of the story, we know that Jesus actually raises Lazarus from the dead. But he has this conversation with Martha before that. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, well, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone, who lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, look at that again. Let me read that part again. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What is he talking about? He says, look, if you believe in me, though you die, you'll live, but if you believe in me, you'll never die. So he's obviously talking about two different kinds of death here, isn't he? He is. The next slide says that death is fatal for the physical part of the body, but not for the spiritual part of the body. Right? When we die, our spirit, our soul, whatever you want to call it, does not die. It is created to exist forever. And so death simply is a passage for those who believe in Jesus. Death is not final. Death is not fatal in any way, shape, or form. The physical part, yes, but even one day that part will be resurrected. But not the spiritual part, not really who we are. Death is not final for that. And for the follower of Jesus, death is simply a transition from this life into heaven, into a glorious, incredible place, an incredible existence in the presence of Jesus. So the resurrection changes everything. There was some promises of a resurrection in the Old Testament, and we see that in Martha's words. She said, yeah, I know he'll be raised in the resurrection. Nobody really had seen how that was going to work. Nobody really understood that, exactly how that was going to go. And Jesus' resurrection proved and demonstrated God's ability to raise us and to give us eternal life. But please notice that Jesus didn't say that everyone never dies. Right? That's not what he said. Jesus didn't say everyone never dies. Jesus said that everyone who believes in him never dies. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, never dies. The resurrection changes everything. But we need to trust in Christ for that change to be effective for us as far as death is concerned. Jesus said that everyone who believes in him never dies. And if the statistics are true that I quoted earlier this morning, 36% of the adult population in the United States does not believe in Jesus. You cannot believe in Jesus in a way that God saves you, in a way that eternal life enters into you, if you don't believe that he rose from the dead. If you've never trusted in Christ, you face spiritual death and separation from God for eternity. I mean, those aren't my words. Those are the words of the Bible, repeated again and again and again. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, you face spiritual death and separation from God for all eternity. You know, they say as you get older, you start spending time reading obituaries. I'm not there yet. I don't regularly read them. Some of you probably do. And that's fine. But over the last couple of weeks, I usually write my sermons 3 or 4 weeks ahead. So when I wrote this, I went back and I started looking at obituaries. And periodically over these last few weeks, and again yesterday, I was reading some obituaries. And you know what? I never found one single time an obituary that said something like, John entered into hell. Mary began her eternal separation from God. You never read that in an obituary. Never. You read things like, entered into rest, went to be with Jesus, went to heaven. Occasionally, you will read an obituary that says nothing about anything about eternity whatsoever. But the plain fact of the matter is that without Christ, neither you or I or anyone else can enter into heaven. Death becomes fatal and final. Except that you need to understand then that death becomes defined as separation from God forever and ever and ever in a place the Bible calls hell. And you can disagree with that, and you can dispute that, and we could, but it's real. And part of what we like to do at Buffalo Valley is if you do dispute that, or if you're not sure about that, man, ask us about it. Dialogue with us. I enjoy having those conversations because I want the resurrection to change everything about your death so that whenever that day comes for you, that you will enter into life. It will not be final and it will not be fatal. And we won't have to sort of figure out a way, or some, your loved ones won't have to figure out a way to sort of change the truth with the words that they would use. But it doesn't stop there. The resurrection changes life. It changes life. Those disciples, they went from scared rabbits to bold lions. All right? They went from scared rabbits to bold lions. Peter went from denying he even knew Jesus to being willing, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, to stand in front of crowds who had crucified Jesus and call him out. You killed him. You crucified him. We're here to tell you, you need to believe in him. All of the disciples, except for John, ultimately went to their graves, were killed because of their faith in Christ. They went from scared rabbits to bold lions. Why? Not because they remembered, oh, I remember when Jesus taught us this back then. No, that wasn't it. And they didn't all get together and said, you know, that death that he was able to endure, he didn't deserve that death, and that death should motivate us. That death should inspire us to go out there and tell people about this incredible guy and his incredible teaching. That never happened. What mattered, what changed their lives, was the resurrection of Jesus. That Jesus said he was going to die and come back to life, and he pulled it off. And then they decided that that kind of a man, a God-man, was worthy of the rest of their lives. Is that our attitude here this morning? If you have been changed by the resurrection of Christ, then it must affect your life. Trusting in Jesus Christ affects all of your life, not just the end of your life. We've talked about this before. Christianity, faith in Christ, is not life insurance. Right? You buy life insurance. Many of you have life insurance. You don't look at your policy every day. And again, I said, if your spouse is looking at your policy, you got a problem. But you're probably not looking at your policy every day, right? That does not inspire you to live differently. But faith in Christ should inspire us to live differently. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15 is a chapter that Paul writes that's all about the resurrection. It's all about the resurrection of Jesus. And then this is the last verse. Therefore, so after I've taught you about the resurrection, I've told you how true it is, he says things like, look, if you know the resurrection isn't really true, then all of us Christians, we're the most pitiful. I mean, we've lived a lie, we've done all this stuff. And he ends it with, therefore, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, be immovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's the capstone to what happens in our lives when we have been changed by the resurrection. And when you're out there, when you're laboring for the Lord, it doesn't mean, you know, I have to go be a missionary. It doesn't mean full-time pastor stuff. It just simply means everything in your life is lived out of the change that happens in the resurrection, and you work for the Lord. You serve him. How does that verse fit against the template of your life? And if you are out there serving the Lord in the ways that God has called you to do, you should be excited about that. And you should be so grateful that God has given you that opportunity. And if you're not, then something needs to change for your benefit and for the benefit of the kingdom of God. The resurrection changes the focus of life for the follower of Jesus. Right? And I get it. On every Easter Sunday, there are people here this morning who are not normally in a church. You're not normally focusing and thinking about the things of God. And so my thought for you is, have you been changed by the resurrection of Christ? Because if you've been changed by the resurrection of Christ, then honestly, coming to a worship service on Easter Sunday is not going to be enough for you. Coming on Christmas Eve is not going to be enough for you. I'm glad you're here. Everybody's glad you're here. The people who invited you are glad you're here. But if that's what you got, if that's your labor, you've not been changed. Or something has gotten in the way of a change that happened in the past. But if you are here this morning and you do serve the Lord, you should be so excited about this opportunity. The resurrection has changed your life and given you an opportunity to do something that makes a difference here and for eternity. We're not auditioning. We're not trying to prove ourselves to be good enough to get to heaven. That's already been done by Jesus. Now he says, go out there and live and change the world. That's the opportunity that we have. If your life has not been changed, then you've not been changed. There's just no other way to understand the New Testament. All right? So I want you to think about that. I'm not saying your life is perfect. None of us are perfect. I made 3 typos in a slide that I put up on Easter Sunday, for crying out loud. That's not perfection. It's change. It's change. If your thoughts go to Christ once a year, that's not change. So a couple of closing sort of thoughts. 2 actions to consider. Number 1, maybe today is a day to change your loss of focus. Maybe you would say, you know what, I do know that I was changed. I do know there was a time in my life when I admitted to God that I was a sinner and I trusted in Christ as my Savior. But you know what, I have lost the focus. It's happened to many of us. Happened to me for about a 7-year period of time in my young adult life. Totally lost focus. Only actually went to Easter service, as I can recall, one time in a 4-year period of time. I didn't even go to Easter. But then there came a time, after hearing the Word of God over and over again, I knew I needed to get back. I knew I needed to be responding to what God was doing inside of me. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe it's like, you know, I've lost my focus. I've been changed. I know that Christ lives within me. but I'm not, my life isn't evidence of that. I'm not here to condemn you in any way, shape, or form. I'm here to say, let's go. Let's move on. If it's here, if it's someplace back home, if it's another local church, whatever it would be, let's engage. Let's let God take the rest of your life and change you in a way that he wants to do to change the world. And there's no better place to do that than here. Or maybe it's you need to change your lack of faith. It's not enough just simply to believe that Jesus, it's not even enough simply to believe that Jesus is resurrected. That's just believing a fact. That doesn't change anything. The Bible says that you and I need to trust in Christ. We need to receive him as our Savior. We need to admit that we are sinners. Come on, that's an easy one for us, right? We're all sinners. But that sin is going to cause death, separation from God. But Christ died that you might have eternal life. And if you will but trust him. You say, well, I don't know what that means for me. Well, do you think Peter knew what the resurrection meant for him? Not a chance. So I don't know what that's going to mean for my life. I don't know what I'm going to have to give up. See, it's not giving up something when you no longer desire it. See, I don't give up liver. I don't give it up because I don't desire it. I don't give up endive. I hope none of you are going to have that for Easter dinner today, but maybe if you enjoy it. I don't give it up. It's not a problem because I don't desire it. And so some people, I think, feel like, well, if I trust in Christ, I'm going to have to give this up. I'm going to have to give that up. I'm going to have to change. Well, yeah, there will be change, but it won't be a giving it up because you won't want it anymore. Because that's how significant this change is that God has in mind for you. In your bulletin, there's a couple of places where you could check stuff if you'd like somebody to talk to you. You can put them in the black boxes in the back as you leave. Maybe you'd like to talk to someone about getting your focus back. We live for that stuff here. We live for talking with you. We live for Eric and I and Danita and others in our spiritual life team and others. We want to help you get your focus back. Or maybe you just need to talk to someone about getting your faith started. And I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're over here on the side of, I don't even know that God is real. Man, I love that. Let's go. Or maybe you're like, I believe it all. I just need to trust in Christ. Yeah, we want to help you. We're going to sing a couple of more songs. And maybe use those songs to help cement some things that you might have decided to do. But then tell somebody. Tell somebody. I want the resurrection to be something that changes my life and my death. Please join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for the truth of the resurrection of Christ. A truth that really does change everything. It's a game changer. It's a life changer. It's a history changer. We set our calendars not on the life of a great teacher, not on the life of a guy who turned water into wine and multiplied bread and fish. We adjust our calendars and date our time based on the life of somebody who came back to life and who still lives today. Father, may that truth resonate with each of us. May we be, those of us who know Christ and have been following him, may we just be so thankful for the opportunity that you have given to us through the resurrection to live a changed life and to live a life that impacts and changes others. And then God, those who might be here this morning and who've lost their focus, God, I pray that you would draw them back. And whatever that looks like in their lives, that they would be so sure of who you are and so sure of your call upon their life that their life would be filled with change as you remake and as you refocus. And then again, those who never trusted in you, God, I pray you draw them. Draw them with an irresistible force of your love, which compels them to trust in your Son Christ and to be saved. Father, whatever you need to do in our lives, I pray we'll let you do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you